If people are dieting now more than ever before, then why are nearly 1 in 3 American adults overweight? Dr. Gundry, who's helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier than ever, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. MCTs are a special kind of compound that, instead of turning into fat when you consume it, turns into ketones, which is a chemical that breaks down the excess fat in your body. So, by getting more MCTs in your diet, you essentially flip a switch that puts your body in caloric bypass mode, which can flush out excess fat and calories. And he's created an easy way for you to activate caloric bypass right at home. It's called MCT Wellness. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. I love how incredible it tastes. All you do is add a scoop to water, enjoy, and watch as you start feeling slimmer and more energized. So, if you want to experience a quick, easy, and effective way to melt pounds fast, go to GundryMD.com/energy and order right now to get up to 53% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's GundryMD.com/energy.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
You need parts? O'Reilly Auto Parts has parts. Need them fast? We've got fast. No matter what you need, we have thousands of professional parts people doing their part to make sure you have it. Product availability. Just one part that makes O'Reilly stand apart. The professional parts people.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Good afternoon, my conscious co-creators. Welcome to another edition of the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. I am very, very pleased that you are all here with me today. We've got a fascinating show in store for you with a wonderful, wonderful guest who I will bring on in just a moment. First, of course, my blog post from a couple of years ago, again, just kind of taking my blog in order and just going in order. And so this week's blog is entitled Cooperation is What Drives Success, Not Competition. There is an old belief that competition makes us better, that it causes us to try harder, to strive more. Yet in today's world, things have shifted. This old model does not work anymore, and it certainly is not sustainable. Competition is a force that drives a wedge between us. It keeps us separate and apart, like a virus that conquers the cells in our body and causes disease. Competition keeps us from cooperating and helping each other. Yet what we need is exactly the opposite. It is not competition that drives innovation, it is cooperation. For when we come together and work together, we can accomplish great things. Bringing people together in cooperation is the greatest gift we have. It is how all of our biggest structures have been built. Cooperation is what made it possible to build the pyramids or the Eiffel Tower. It is how we are able to send people into space, explore the polar regions, and map the deepest parts of the ocean. It is through cooperation that we survive as a species. For If all we promote is competition, then we will surely succumb to the challenges in front of us. Cooperation allows us to make some of the greatest medical breakthroughs. It has raised the standard of living and created a less violent world. Yet we still have a lot to learn. While both cooperation and competition exist side by side, one must ultimately prevail. We must learn to think and act differently. To stop this virus known as competition, the antidote is cooperation. We can see it so clearly in our own lives, even on the smallest level. When a family comes together and works together to achieve a goal, it easily surpasses a family that does not. By coming together, especially in difficult times, we get through any challenge in a much easier way. When we go it alone, it is always harder. The trick is to come together before disaster strikes. We all benefit from working together. Cooperation is the key to everyone's success. So where in your own life can you stop acting out of competition and start acting from cooperation? So, I mean, this whole idea of the dichotomy between cooperation and competition is one that, you know, I've talked about in the past, and it's one that's been very present in to myself for decades now. Yet still, and I think what sort of spurred this me to write this blog post a couple of years ago was hearing someone talk about how competition spurs innovation and competition is good. And I really, it just kind of struck me this time. And I was like, no, we really need to adopt a different mindset, to take a different approach to things. Because if we keep hearing and we keep buying into this idea that competition is good, then we're never going to move away from this idea of competition and move into truly what's being called for today, which is the era of cooperation. I mean, the whole structure of corporations is designed around the idea that when people work together for a common goal, that we achieve more, and we do. Of course, a lot of it is always dependent upon the leadership and who's directing the effort. But you can see it over and over and over again in so many different ways that competition divides us, that competition causes us to do things that aren't truly in our nature. We've heard so much about how people in the past have stabbed people in the back. I literally just had a phone call last night with a gentleman who's a business owner who three of the people who worked for him left and started up a competitive business and are saying nasty things about him, and they're trying to drive him out of business out of jealousy. Look, there's plenty to go around. That the scarcity mentality, which is what this whole idea of competition is driven around, it's like that there's only enough for me and not enough for both of us. It's such a false notion. There is so much abundance in this world. The problem is not that there's not enough for everyone. The real challenge is working together to get everyone who needs something what they need. There's too much sort of concentration of resources in just a very small segment of the population. And if we stop making that okay, if we stop allowing these mind viruses of, yes, competition is good. Yes, only a few can make it to the top. It's BS. I remember one time I heard a report where they estimated that there is enough wealth in the world to supply every single human being, every single human being with food, clothing, shelter, and medical care 10 times over. Like not just once or twice, but 10 times over. Now, look, I'm not saying we shouldn't reward people for working hard and coming up with good ideas, but there's a balance here. And today we see the stratification of society and we see things getting more and more and more extreme. I remember when I was a kid, the difference between the lowest paid worker in a company and the president or CEO was about a 50 times difference. Now it's over 500. Please, somebody explain to me how that is reasonable. How that is something that's a good thing that we should actually promote in society. I don't get it. All competition is doing is creating more suffering in the world. This whole idea that I need to get mine and you can't have yours, it's nonsense. And all it is hurting people. And I just kind of feel when we look into our hearts and we really, you know, search our souls for what feels right, that does not feel right for most people. I mean, I'm sure there are a few sociopaths and psychopaths who, you know, are perfectly fine with that. But for the vast majority of people, that's not okay. Yet how things have developed in society is not reflective of that. And it, to me, I feel one of those core issues that have brought us to where we are today is this whole idea that competition is a good thing. You know, now look, I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with playing a baseball game or a football game. And that we shouldn't strive to be better physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, of course. But there's a subtle energy. There's a subtle attitude towards this idea of there are winners and losers. And I know there are a lot of people out there who criticize like the way some schools are now where you get a trophy just for showing up. And I'm not saying it needs to go to such a opposite extreme. But let's look at the world around us. Let's be honest with ourselves. I really don't get why people are so enthralled with these quote-unquote influencers on social media who flaunt this flagrant wealth that and doing things that just don't make sense that most people will never afford in their lifetime. How is that okay? I don't know. But I just feel that there are more and more challenges coming every day. The pandemic was just the first truly global challenge that affected everyone. I don't feel it's going to be the last one. I don't know if it's going to be a future pandemic or something from climate change or some other extreme event. I just know in my heart of hearts that I feel we need to learn to come together. We need to cooperate a lot more than we currently are with each other to really weather the storms that are ahead of us. And it's a choice. Every day we get to make that choice. Every day we get to choose which side of the equation we personally promote with our energy, with our voice, with our wallets. So I'm just asking you for this week, let's focus on what we can do to cooperate more and fight with each other a little bit less. That's how we're really going to be able to bring a better future into this world. So I see loyal listener Patty tuning in on the live stream, liking the today's blog post. Thank you, Patty. As always, I appreciate you. So the title of that blog post is Cooperation is What Drives Success, Not Competition. I hope you liked it. Again, you can always find my blog at talkradio.nyc/blog. And of course, on my personal website, theconsciousconsultant.com. All right. And now it is my extreme pleasure to welcome to the show psychologist, spiritual teacher, and award-winning author, Maitreyi Ma Nolan. Dr. Nolan works both as a spiritual teacher and in private practice as a psychologist to assist people in connecting with the loving bliss of the divine being and living lives that reflect that divine love. As an award-winning author, her most recent book, Into the Heart of the Infinite, a spiritual memoir of an extraordinary mystical journey, along with her earlier books, help people understand the power of spiritual connection to transform your life and how you can then live your spiritual values in personal and lives and in relationship to the world around you. Some of her past books include Dharma for Awakening and Social Change, Living Love, The Yoga of Yama and Niyama, and Yoga Psychology, Understanding and Awakening Kundalini. Not only is she trained as a licensed psychologist, she is also an Acharya or ordained minister of the yogic meditation, a certified IYT yoga therapist, and an EYRT 500-hour yoga teacher with many years' experience with deep meditation and yoga wisdom. Welcome to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Maitreyi.
Thank you. It's wonderful to be here with you.
It's a pleasure to have you. I have so many questions for you. Unfortunately, we've got to take our first break. I apologize. I kind of rambled on a little bit about today's blog post, but we're going to dive into your background and how you came to be where you are today when we return, okay? Excellent. So everybody, please stay tuned. You're listening to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. We do this every Thursday, 12 noon to 1 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on talkradio.nyc. Our guest this hour is Maitreyi Ma Nolan, and we will be right back with our guest in just a moment.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant, and on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a high-achieving, growth-oriented leader? Are you interested in developing your authentic leadership while creating a healthy, inclusive workplace? Hi, I'm Dr. Mira Branku, host of The Hard Skills on talkradio.nyc at 5 p.m. Eastern on Tuesdays, where we discuss how leaders develop the hard skills needed to make a greater impact. We interview experts, have live coaching, and tackle these challenges. Listen to The Hard Skills on Tuesday at 5 p.m. Eastern on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a business owner? Do you want to be a business owner? Do you work with business owners? Hi, I'm Stephen Fry, your small and medium-sized business or SMB guy, and I'm the host of the new show, Always Friday. While I love to have fun on my show, we take those Friday feelings of freedom and clarity to discuss popular topics on the minds of SMBs today. Please join me and my various special guests on Friday at 11 a.m. on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.
And welcome back to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. This hour, we're speaking with Dr. Maitreyi Ma Nolan. We didn't get a chance to kind of dive into your background a little bit, but you have a very spiritual background. You've been studying yoga and yogic philosophy for decades. How did you first get onto your spiritual path? What kind of brought you to this world?
Well, my book, Into the Heart of the Infinite, is about this journey of mysticism. And really, it started as a child. I had a lot of, I felt a real connection to nature, to animals and to plants, and then began to experience a divine presence that I felt near me. And that I felt that presence around me, with me, and it felt very holy. That connection was my first introduction, that sense of a divine presence. There was no guidance, there was no instruction, but there was this sense of presence. And then I went on to sort of move out of that into my teenage years and so on. Then in my early 20s, I, like many people of the time, got introduced to psychedelics and had very profound mystical experiences with psychedelics, which then led me, to make the story very brief, to meditation and the yogic path. And so in my early 20s, I began meditating, and I also went to India to see my guru. But what really happened is that in my meditation, again, this presence came, and I felt this divine holy presence, which I now associated with my guru. And this guidance told me the name was Baba before I ever met my physical guru and before I really knew anything about guru or anything. This presence came in my meditation and began to guide me. And that opened up to a lot of profound experiences of mystical presence.
May I ask you, you know, I've heard a lot of people talk about sort of the mystical experience of psychedelics, how it sort of opened them up to a new world, a different world. Was it something that kind of opened you up in a very immediate way? Or was it something that sort of started the opening, and then as you got attracted more and more to the spiritual studies, that then it really blossomed?
The opening on psychedelics, on a series of LSD experiences, was deeply, deeply profound. And then as that path closed, meditation became a way of opening that up again. On psychedelics, it really opened up into the, you know, the unitary wholeness, like looking at a leaf and you go into the molecular and you go into the cosmic and it just all blends into one. And that unitary wholeness is there, the slowing of time, the unitary essence of being. And that really led to some very deep and profound experiences on LSD. But, you know, I was young. I lived in Southern Illinois. I really had no idea of spirituality. It was before all of this information was so available. And I didn't even know that people had these experiences outside of LSD. So when I took a course in Eastern religion and I read the Bhagavad Gita, I went, oh, other people have these experiences. And they didn't take any drugs, you know, that this is real, you know, and so it was a matter of my personal ignorance, I would say, and having profound experiences, but it was scary. It was hard because I didn't have any context for it. I didn't know that other people had these experiences. I was very innocent the context of it all. It was just spontaneous experience for me. And recognizing the unitary whole of being and moving into that and into the, not only the unitary whole, but deeper than that, into the space of no time, no, not even bliss, just being, just something between being and non-being, and into that total collapse of manifestation. And there were some very profound experiences on LSD. So it was a real door opener for me, but I do feel that psychedelics are a good door opener, and I was perhaps ready to have those experiences. But it is not a path through. It's a look-see, you know. And for me, it was a look-see, very profound, and then a door closed because it wasn't a path through. And then finding meditation and finding my own mystical relationship to the divine, which was natural and doesn't really require any kind of substance to connect with. Once I dropped down into a deeper level, that connection just unfolded. And meditation is more of a sustainable method to connect with the unitary whole and to bring that into your life and to alter in a more permanent way your perceptual field.
And so as you said, like back then there wasn't a lot of access to this stuff. And it wasn't very common. So as you started to find this stuff, as you started to take courses and learn about it, obviously there was something that drew you in a very personal way. What do you feel was it that drew someone like yourself in, but there could have been someone sitting right next to you taking the class who were like, oh yeah, this is nice, but didn't necessarily feel the same connection to the material?
I had already experienced the states of consciousness. So it was an affirmation of what I already knew. It wasn't a learning. And so it wasn't something I needed to take somebody else's advice to believe. It was something I had already experienced. It's something I knew that existed. And so I wasn't learning about somebody else's ideas or something that I hadn't personally experienced. I was receiving affirmation that other people experienced and understood these states of consciousness, the unitary wholeness of all being. And so I think the blessing of LSD for me was bringing me into this vast unitary wholeness and giving me direct experience, which then moved forward, you know. And LSD was a more impersonal experience of the whole universe. But then when I was a child, and then again when things opened up in my meditation, the experiences were very personal, that I met this divine guide. I met this guiding presence, and it, in the deep, deep love that is there for the unitary whole of being, that presence was a door through which connecting to that is connecting to the deep subterranean river of infinite love, which abides in all that is.
I'm just wondering, on a personal level for yourself, as you're exploring and opening up on this path, were the people around you supportive, or did it not really matter to you whether they were supportive or not?
When I was a child, I think I was very isolated and I felt very alone because I didn't feel that anyone around me, I didn't share my experience because I quickly learned that
most people didn't have those experiences and couldn't relate.
Yeah. My understandings of things, my experience of connectedness was different than the people around me. And I felt a yearning as if I was in the wrong place at the wrong time. You know, I wanted to be with the divine, and it wasn't in my environment. And then I would say the people were supportive. They did not necessarily understand my experience, but they were supportive. But what really happened is that through this divine connection, I was moved into a more supportive environment. And then I went to India and I lived there for a year or so. And in the ashram of my guru, and that really was a very, very, very different environment. And there was a lot of support. You know, so I moved into support. And then I think the general consciousness of many people has changed over the years. And there's Eastern philosophy and mysticism have moved in. They reflect in many things, including your blog this morning. The same understanding that there is a unitary base to all existence, a love which is universal, and that is the inherent nature of every living being, is more understood now. And from that comes a different understanding of how to be in the world. And not in competition, but in alignment with life. And my book, Yama, Living Love, which is on the yogic principles of Yama and Niyama, which are the ethical codes of yoga, but really, as a psychologist, I see them as behavioral. They have to do with how we relate to the world around us. Do we relate in doing no?
What does innovation sound like? It sounds like the luxury of being in the moment with your customer, client, or patient. It sounds like having the right information right when you need it. It sounds like being at your best for your customers and your business. Thanks to Hyland's intelligent content solutions that improve digital processes, innovators everywhere are able to do their thing better, whatever that thing is. Now, who doesn't like the sound of that? Hyland, for innovators everywhere, visit Hyland.com.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself? Talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, wherever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Now, get $80 off of your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
You need parts? O'Reilly Auto Parts has parts. Need them fast? We've got fast. No matter what you need, we have thousands of professional parts people doing their part to make sure you have it. Product availability. Just one part that makes O'Reilly stand apart. The professional parts people.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
How do we relate in being authentic and honest? Relate in desiring what other people have and trying to grab it in some way, or do we find contentment and peace in what we do have and who we are? You know, there are ways of being in alignment in your life and the world so that you can come into spiritual awareness, so that you can drop down and understand your inherent nature and the inherent nature of all that is.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I actually have a question for you around this, but we need to take our next break. So I'm going to wait to ask until we come back. So please stay tuned. You're listening to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. We're speaking this hour with Dr. Maitreya Ma Nolan, psychologist and spiritual teacher. And we still got a couple of segments to go. I look forward to the rest of the conversation. Stay with us.
Hey, everybody. It's Tommy D, the Nonprofit Sector Connector, coming at you from my attic. Each week here on talkradio.nyc, I host the program Philanthropy in Focus. Nonprofits impact us each and every day, and it's my focus to help them amplify their message and tell their story. Listen each week at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time until 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time right here on talkradio.nyc.
Were you an essential worker during the pandemic? If you needed to learn stages of epilepsy, did you depend on advocates? Did you use new innovations to cope with mental and neurological issues? Maintaining high quality of life and keeping good mental health are what we all strive for. I'm Frank R. Harrison, host of Frank About Health, and each week, top healthcare influencers, professionals, and innovators answer these questions and more. Stay tuned on Thursdays at 5 p.m. on talkradio.nyc, and I will continue to be Frank About Health with all of you.
Are you a business owner? Do you want to be a business owner? Do you work with business owners? Hi, I'm Stephen Fry, your small and medium-sized business or SMB guy, and I'm the host of the new show, Always Friday. While I love to have fun on my show, we take those Friday feelings of freedom and clarity to discuss popular topics on the minds of SMBs today. Please join me and my various special guests on Friday at 11 a.m. on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC at www.talkradio.nyc. Now broadcasting 24 hours a day.
Welcome back. So Dr. Nolan, I'm just curious, as you were entering into this world, meditating, feeling that connection to all that is, did you ever consider, and I know you spent a year at the ashram, Did you ever consider like becoming a nun or a monk and kind of removing yourself from society and just meditating? And I ask this question because the founder of this network, you know, 14 years ago, he sold it to me in order so that he could become a Theravadan monk and don his robes. And he's been being a monk and meditating ever since then. And so you were talking about, you know, the principles of Yama and Niyama about how to live in the world. And so I'm just curious, you had such a profound experience. Did you ever feel like you wanted to remove yourself from the world so that you could just sort of sit and meditate all day?
A little here and there, but I wasn't guided in that way. What happened is I went to India and I became very ill at some point, and I had this amazing inner guidance, and much of what I've learned from my inner guide. I read it later in books, you know, but I learned from my own experience and from my inner guide. But I became very ill when I was in India, which isn't hard to do, or wasn't back then. India has changed a great deal, but back then, what did they say, that a Westerner who stayed more than 6 months, like, you know, had most people have problems of one kind or another. Yeah. And so I got really sick with dysentery kind of stuff, but really sick. And I ended up in the hospital and I thought I was dying. And I reached out to my divine guide and he wasn't there. He just the presence wasn't there. And the message was really clear to me that I was meditating 10 hours a day and, you know, really absorbed in the pursuit of consciousness. And the message was really clear that if I killed this body in my passion and my love and my love for the divine, that just wasn't okay. Wow. And then when my guide came to me again, when Baba came to me again, he said, this is not the way. You need to learn to be in the world and transform the world. And so I came back to America and I formed attachments and I had kids. I got married. I had kids and a family and, you know, did the whole, went back to school, got my PhD in psychology. I did all of that after and continued to meditate, continuing to have deep experiences, but learning to be in the world. And for me, the real spiritual lesson was not how to remove myself from the world, but how to follow my path is Tantra, classical North Indian Tantra and Ashtanga Yoga. And really Tantra says, you can be a yogi and a bogey. You can enjoy life and you can really see the unitary wholeness and all that is. And that was the challenge for me, is to not walk away from life, but to realize that divinity is in every particle, every molecule, every atom of existence, every living being that is, and that being in the world is not being separate from the divine. The problem with removing yourself from the world is, you know, you come back and you're hit with, you know, being in the middle of New York City, right? Yeah. and all of a sudden you can't handle it, right? Because the need to realize that there is, you know, nothing outside of the infinite. Everything is part of that whole of being. And so when we stay in the world, it may be harder at times, but recognizing, coming to the deeper place where not only do we go off in meditation, but we come to recognize that nothing is outside of that wholeness of being, that all of manifestation, all life, all existence, every blade of grass, every rock, every piece of furniture, everything is inside, is within the mind of the cosmos, is in the cosmic preview. It's all made of the same substance. It's all made of infinite beingness. And the inherent love that we feel that draws us to other people, to nature, to connectedness, which I think you're referring to, that inherent love that draws us to connectedness is that love which is always drawing us to the unitary whole, which is our own essential nature, the nature of all that is. We can find it in deep meditation, but we can also find it in every moment of this life once we open our hearts and minds to it. And so I guess for me, the lesson of my spiritual journey has been much more about learning to be in the world than to away from it.
Escape it, yeah. I'm curious, you've written so many books. How many books have you written altogether?
More recently, I have some older ones, but that I think need serious editing. But more recently, I've three: Living Love, and Dharma, and Into the Heart of the Infinite. But which goes into my journey. I have other books, but I'd like them to have more editing when I get the time.
Of course, of course. What sort of was the motivation to write Into the Heart of the Infinite? Like, what was it about your own story and about this mystical journey that you felt you wanted to share with the world?
Thank you for asking that. That's an important question to me. I got inner guidance from my inner guide, Baba, to write this book in the 90s, and I wrote part of it, fortunately, so I could remember things. But I never wrote it, although I wanted to. And I felt like it was a commitment I had to divine being to write this book. And the reason that I felt for this book is that the book is really my relationship, both in the cosmic sense and in the personal sense, to God presence, to a holy and divine presence, which is so subtle and so infinite and so profound, and to bring that experience. And I really haven't gone into the mysticism of it, but there's deep communion with that, and to bring that to other people in story form. It's my story, but it's a story of how that plays out and the relationship that we can have with the infinite. So that that story is there. I'm a Western woman. I'm not an Eastern yogi or somebody, you know, I'm an ordinary person. And how that can play out in our lives as Westerners, and how mysticism isn't something for, you know, Catholic saints and of old and Eastern yogis. It's here for all of us.
Was there any part of the book that was difficult for you to write?
Yeah, it was. I think that if you read my book, people who read my book comment that it's very authentic. And I do go into my struggles and fears and conflicts and things that went up, particularly around the guidance I received to begin allowing the flow of teaching that I was receiving to come through me out into the world. And I went through a lot of my own struggle with my process and with doubt and fear and fears of, oh, I'm crazy having these experiences. Mm-hmm. And, you know, all of the things that people go through, and especially about opening up, because I had been very circumspect about sharing my spiritual experiences with other people. Mm. And to bring that out into the open was very difficult at first. Mm. And difficult to write my whole journey, I think, in yet very healing in a way to share my journey with people.
Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes just expressing those difficult parts is cathartic in its own right. And
yeah. And they're, that was my way of having those difficulties, but I think they're difficulties that are shared.
Yeah. Yeah.
And each in our own way, we struggle. The spiritual path, the journey towards wholeness is not always easy.
Yeah. Yeah. We need to take our last break of the show. I could talk with you for hours. I wish I had more time. When we come back, I want to ask you about, like, today, now, and your relationship to the infinite now, and how it might be different from the way it was in the past. Okay? Because I feel, you know, things evolve and change. So I would love to touch upon that. So everyone, please stay tuned. You're listening to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. Don't forget, if you want to ask any questions of Maitreyi or myself around this topic of the divine and the infinite, please post your questions into the live streams, and we'll get to them before the end of the show. You're listening to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, and we'll be right back.
Are you a high-achieving, growth-oriented leader? Are you interested in developing your authentic leadership while creating a healthy, inclusive workplace? Hi, I'm Dr. Mira Bronku, host of The Hard Skills on talkradio.nyc at 5 p.m. Eastern on Tuesdays, where we discuss how leaders develop the hard skills needed to make a greater impact. We interview experts, have live coaching, and tackle these challenges. Listen to The Hard Skills on Tuesday at 5 p.m. Eastern on talkradio.nyc.
Hey, everybody, it's Tommy D, the Nonprofit Sector Connector, coming at you from my attic. Each week here on talkradio.nyc, I host a program, Philanthropy in Focus. Nonprofits impact us each and every day, and it's my focus to help them amplify their message and tell their story. Listen each week at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time until 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your Conscious Consultant, and on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC at www.talkradio.nyc. Now broadcasting 24 hours a day.
Welcome back. So, Maitreyi, you know, you and I have both been on this kind of path of journeying to learn about the truth, to connect and to have that experience of wholeness and oneness. But I kind of feel, and, you know, you have a few years on me, but as I'm older, I see things differently. My relationship to spirit is different than it was when I was in my 20s or 30s. And I'm just curious today, how are things different for you? How do you feel your relationship to spirit is different than it was when you were younger?
I think when I was younger, they were through LSD or through meditation, these deeply profound out-of-body kind of experiences, connecting to the mystical whole, were very profound. But I think what's happened is more over the years is more of the connection is more natural, it's more smooth, and it's changed over the years in that it's more present in everything. There's more of the feeling of that being always there and being in this world as well as in the pure essence of being. The essence of being is in everything that is. The transparency of that has become more. So I think that's the change. It is a change from, and it has to do with resolving my relationship to this physical plane, I think.
Do you fear death?
On one level, yes. On another level, no. I think in deep states of consciousness, when you really go deep, there is no death. It wouldn't matter.
And as a psychologist, you've worked with people over the years. I don't know if you're still in private practice, but I was curious, are the challenges people are showing up with and seeking your counseling over, has that shifted and changed over the years?
My practice has shifted because I was working a lot with the developmentally disabled as a consultant for many, many years. And so I went into private practice maybe 6 or 7 years ago as more of my full-time work. And people come to me a lot with spiritual needs and issues.
I'm curious, a lot of people feel, myself included, that today the world is so divided. It can feel like things are getting worse, not better. There are more challenges to deal with. And I'm just wondering, on a spiritual level, what have your guides, what has spirit sort of imparted to you about where we are going, where the world is going, and what kind of solace can we find in the midst of all this chaos?
The guidance I get is that, and I've gotten since my early 20s, is that we're in the process of an evolutionary shift, and that it's a transition from one state of consciousness to another. And like our personal journeys of transformation, the process of transformation requires a deconstruction of what has been in order to reconstruct at a higher level, whether it's personal transformation or collective transformation. And we are definitely in a process of collective transformation. And in that process, we're moving out of, in my book in Dharma, I go into the yogic social cycles that are a part of ancient yogic philosophy, but we're moving from one social cycle to another. We're moving from the Vaishya era, which is manifest in capitalism, through an era called the Shudra Revolution, which is a revolution of thinking of the people. It's not a revolution of leadership, and into a Kshatriyan era, which doesn't necessarily mean warriors, but it means kind of like Star Trek. It's an orderly collective good. The value is the collective good. And so in the yogic terms, we're moving in that. But the guidance I get is that we're moving into an era where the light and divine consciousness is much more. The awareness is much more. But in that process of movement is a deconstruction process, and as you said earlier, it may get worse,
yeah.
Before it gets better. But I know a lot of people who think we're not going to make it. And that's not the guidance I get. The guidance I get is that we are definitely going to make it through this transitionary period, but that we will bring it to the edge before we make that change.
So it's going to get scarier before it gets better.
But I do think that it is a very bright change, a very bright transformation of consciousness that's going on into, some people call it the Aquarian Age or whatever. That's not the terms that the guidance I receive is in, but that we are transiting to a new level of development and beingness and connectedness.
And so what guidance or what advice would you give to people today who are sort of on this path but might be struggling a bit?
To trust the divine. Trust the cosmic whole. Trust that you're always safe in that, no matter what the outer circumstances. And to trust that the light is getting brighter, not dimmer. And it's the brightness of that light which is causing the shadows to be visible. And to find, to keep your heart open in love.
Yeah. The brighter the light, the darker the shadow, I guess, eh?
Yeah, we believe that's the motto of our time.
Yeah.
Because at the same time that many difficult things are happening, so are many things like your show, many things that are bringing light into the world.
Yes, absolutely. There's definitely a flowering of consciousness around the planet. At the same time, there's all this chaos and polarization. Well, Maitreya Ma, it's been a pleasure to have you on the show. I welcome for you to come back in the future. If people want to learn more about your work and find out more about you, where can they find you online?
I'm at yogama.org, yogama.org. Yogama.org is my website. My books are available on Amazon. They're available in bookstores. They're available. You may need to order them if they don't have them on the shelf, but they're available through my website. And so is my other work available through my website, yogama.org.
Wonderful, wonderful. Make sure to put that in the show notes. Maitreya Ma, thank you so much for taking the time and come on my show today. It's been truly an honor and a pleasure. And I hope one day we get to meet in person. It would be wonderful to meet you in person.
I would love that.
Yeah, me too. All right. Thank you so much. And thank you, my loyal listeners, for tuning in today. Without you, there is no show. And don't forget, if you missed any part of today's show, you can always catch the replay on talkradio.nyc and all across social media and on all the podcasting platforms. Thank you all for tuning in. Take care. We will talk to you all next week. Bye-bye. Thank you.
Talk Radio NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.
Were you an essential worker during the pandemic? If you needed to learn stages of epilepsy, did you depend on advocates? Did you use new innovations to cope with mental and neurological issues? Maintaining high quality of life and keeping good mental health are what we all strive for. I'm Frank R. Harrison, host of Frank About Health, and each week, top healthcare influencers, professionals, and innovators answer these questions and more. Stay tuned on Thursdays at 5 p.m. on talkradio.nyc, and I will continue to be Frank About Health with all of you.
Are you a business owner? Do you want to be a business owner? Do you work with business owners? Hi, I'm Stephen Fry, your small and medium-sized business or SMB guy, and I'm the host of the new show, Always Friday. While I love to have fun on my show, we take those Friday feelings of freedom and clarity to discuss popular topics on the minds of SMBs today. Please join me and my various special guests on Friday at 11 a.m. on talkradio.nyc.
Hey everybody, it's Tommy D, the Nonprofit Sector Connector, coming at you from my attic. Each week here on talkradio.nyc, I host a program, Philanthropy in Focus. Nonprofits impact us each and every day, and it's my focus to help them amplify their message and tell their story. Listen each week at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time until 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant. And on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a high-achieving, growth-oriented leader? Are you interested in developing your authentic leadership while creating a healthy, inclusive workplace? Hi, I'm Dr. Mira Branku, host of The Hard Skills on talkradio.nyc at 5 p.m. Eastern on Tuesdays, where we discuss how leaders develop the hard skills needed to make a greater impact. We interview experts, have live coaching, and tackle these challenges. Listen to The Hard Skills on Tuesday at 5 p.m. Eastern on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.
Need parts? O'Reilly Auto Parts has parts. Need them fast? We've got fast. No matter what you need, we have thousands of professional parts people doing their part to make sure you have it. Product availability. Just one part that makes O'Reilly stand apart. The professional parts people.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.